Our gospel reading for this morning comes to us from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34 and 53 through 56. Listen for the word of God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. He saw a great crowd and had compassion for them. Wherever he went, they begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. 16 centuries ago, there lived a man commonly known as St. Augustine, or Augustine of Hippo. He lived from 354 to 450 CE. He wrote a volume simply called The Confessions, a kind of spiritual biography. Augustine is considered by many scholars to have been the greatest of the early church fathers, leaving a legacy that touches deeply Catholic and Protestant churches alike. In the opening paragraph of The Confessions, St. Augustine wrote as a kind of prayer to the Almighty, "Thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it repose in thee." Thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless unless it find repose in thee. According to Augustine, the longing to know God, to understand God, is part of our human nature. And until we feel that deep longing, our hearts are indeed restless. Mark, the writer of our lesson for this morning, also seems to have some sense of this deep longing for people to come to some kind of knowledge of God, the creator of us all. Mark also gives us, I believe, a glimpse into the very nature of God. In our gospel lesson for this morning, we read of Jesus and his disciples and a rather pushy crowd of people pressing in on them. When Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, he told them to take nothing along except the clothes on their back and a staff to lean on and sandals for their feet. So off they went, telling people about Jesus and that the kingdom of God was here and that everybody should repent and pay attention. After a while, they all returned. They caught up with Jesus, and it was time to reflect, or as we might say today, it was a time for a debriefing. So Jesus wisely said to his disciples, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." Mark adds a fascinating detail, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." Karen Marie Yust, a professor of Christian education at Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, Virginia, reflecting upon this verse 31, where it says, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat," writes this. She says, "Is this not a succinct description of the lives of many people even today? Too busy to pause for a real lunch, young professionals munch on vending machine fare while working at their desks. Teens grab a bagel for breakfast on the way out the door to school. Parents and children drive to a succession of fast food restaurants between after-school lessons and sports practices. Commuters sip double lattes on the early morning drive, gnaw on baby carrots between meetings, and pick up a takeout on the way home. Toddlers graze on cereal pieces and other portable finger foods so that meal schedules need not controlled the timing of family shopping trips. She says, we are a people besieged by activities and responsibilities that reshape even basic functions of life, such as eating. Our busyness prevents us from gathering for family meals, and we may even forget that we enjoy stopping to eat together, especially when we find pleasure and fulfillment in many of the other activities that make up our day. And then she poses a question. But what happens, she says, if Christians become too busy to come away and break bread together? It's a good question. What happens if Christians become too busy to come away and break bread together? And yet, that is why we come here, to this time and place each Sunday morning. We come from the routines of our lives, whether those routines are entirely too busy or if we are in a stage of life where life is more relaxed and quiet. We come here, in either case, to reflect, to find meaning in life, and most of all, to find God in the midst of all the activities of life. Those 12 exhausted disciples needed more than anything else to talk about their experiences, time to reflect and ponder. Jesus invited them to the coastline of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Lake of Gennesaret. It was a freshwater lake. He invited them to what was supposed to be a deserted place, to a very deserted place. What comes to mind, I suppose, is a lovely beach and a grove of trees, grass, shade, a place to fish and build a fire and eat and drink together and talk together into the night. It was supposed to be a time to get away, a time for a debriefing, a time to recharge their batteries. But no such luck. People saw them. They saw Jesus and the disciples in the boat and figured out where they were headed. So the crowd moved, scrambling, tripping and falling, old ones and young ones, families with their children, grandparents on crutches, several hundred of them perhaps, keeping an eye on the boat and the other eye on the destination, that deserted place. And the crowd of people arrived before the boat did. And so just as Jesus stepped out of the boat, there they were waiting for him. So much for time to get away. Something interesting happens. The disciples looked at those people who were coming and they saw an unwanted, unwelcomed interruption. Jesus looked at those people and he saw something quite different. Jesus looked at those people and he saw sheep in need of a shepherd. Jesus looked and was filled with compassion. The late Henry Nouwen, Dutch priest and theologian, told a story about himself. When he first came to this country to teach at Notre Dame, Nouwen said he was surprised at the way American professors kept their office doors closed. "Aren't you constantly interrupted?" he asked a colleague. "How do you get any work done?" His colleague wisely responded and said, "Henry, your interruptions are your work." The disciples were like Nouwen. They wanted to keep the office door closed, but Jesus, like Noan's colleague, knew the door had to remain open. And so on that occasion, when Jesus and the disciples were gathered and the crowd followed them, Mark says Jesus taught them many things. And then the disciples tried to get away yet once more. There were so many people crowding around him that Jesus and the disciples got in the boat and tried again, this time on the other side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee. And wouldn't you know it, there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee was another crowd waiting. And there's a sense of urgency now. People from the entire region rushed to bring their sick to Jesus for healing. In fact, wherever he went, people rushed to see him. Even in the marketplaces, they laid their sick at his feet and begged simply to touch the fringe of his cloak. And, says Mark, all who touched it were healed. The people in these stories were not passive, not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. They ran ahead of Jesus. They anticipated where he was going, and then they got there first. They were insistent. They pushed and shoved to get close enough just to touch him. They were not like us Presbyterians who want to do everything decently and in order. One commentator compares this crowd of pushing, shoving, needy people with a typical Christian congregation of today, sitting properly and quietly in the pews. And then she notes, Christians today are not rushing to get into church ahead of the preacher. Why all this urgency? Perhaps it has something to do with our human longing to know the love of our Creator. This passage, when all is said and done, teaches us that God cares about us, so thoroughly knows and understands us that God actually hurts when we hurt, is glad when we are glad, weeps when we weep, and laughs when we laugh. Canadian theologian Douglas John Hall, professor emeritus of theology at McGill University, says that when Jesus stepped off that boat and had compassion on the crowd, we approach the very center of our faith. Compassion, he says, Hall, is the essence of the one who has created us and before whom life is lived. Compassion is the essence of the one who has created us and before whom life is lived. Mostly, Hall says, primitive and modern religion and many people even this day regard God as ominous, wrathful, angry, vindictive. But here is a God who is none of that. Here is a God who is moved by human need and who reaches down in Jesus Christ just to touch us. It is healing to know that there is one who cares, a God of compassion. It is not just an interesting idea, it is a healing reality to get close to Jesus, to reach out and touch the fringe of his cloak. And so even this day, as one commentator has written, when the chips are down, when life takes an unexpected turn, the job you have counted on to provide for your future and to give you a sense of who you are coming to an end, is healing to know about the one who knows and cares. Or the tests come back and the news is bad, and you face surgery or chemotherapy, and you're suddenly and acutely aware of your mortality, it is quietly and powerfully healing to know that you are not in this alone, that there is one who is with you and who will be with you. The relationship that has been your life ends. The child in whom you have invested your life leaves. The pregnancy you have longed for and invested in prematurely ends. Whenever the bottom falls out of your life, and it does sooner or later for all of us, it is healing and life-giving and hope-generating and strength-producing to know that there is a God whose very being is compassion. Henry Nouwen, the Dutch theologian and the college professor who wanted to keep his office door closed, apparently learned how important it was to keep the office door open, because he later wrote this: every human being has a great, yet often unknown, gift to care, to be compassionate, to become present to the other, to listen, to hear, and to receive. If that gift would be set free and made available, miracles could take place. Those who really can receive bread from a stranger and smile in gratitude can feed many without even realizing it. Those who can sit in silence with others, not knowing what to say, but knowing that they should be there, can bring new life to a dying heart. Those who are not afraid to hold a hand in gratitude, to shed tears in grief, and to let a sigh of distress arise straight from the heart, can break through paralyzing boundaries and witness the birth of a new relationship, a new fellowship, the fellowship of the broken. And so maybe the best news of this passage from Mark is still in the two sentences I quoted at the beginning. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion for them. And they begged to simply touch the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Amen.